Thursday Night Tailgate, where the spotlight is always on the positive. Tune in Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time to hear your favorite NFL legends, players, and coaches sharing their stories. Now back to Chris and Bob.
I wouldn't joke about anything else that happened to you tonight.
All right, now back with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is former Panthers defensive back and now head coach at Campbell University, and that's Mike Minter. Let me remind you about Mike's background. He's from Cleveland, Ohio. He attended high school in Lawton, Oklahoma, where he led the state in rushing with almost 1,600 yards and 21 touchdowns as a senior. He also averaged 21 points per game in basketball. Played his college ball at the University of Nebraska, where he was a member of their back-to-back national championship teams in 1994 and 95. He was named to the All-Big 12 team as a senior in 96, and he was named team captain that season as well. In 2006, he was inducted into the Nebraska Hall of Fame. Mike was a second-round pick by the Carolina Panthers in 1997, played safety in the league from 97 to 2006, all in Carolina. He became a starter in the sixth game of his rookie season and then never gave it up. And all he played in 148 games, he started 141 of them, 94 consecutively, both of which are team records. He had 11 sacks, 17 interceptions, forced 15 fumbles, recovered 11 of them, and had 780 tackles. And like I say, he is now the head coach at Campbell University there in North Carolina, led the Campbells to 6-5 records the last two seasons. And I've got my Campbell University shirt on in appreciation of Mike, and we're very excited he is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Mike, Chris and Bob, thanks for coming back on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. You know, that was a great introduction.
I'm glad you liked it. Mike, like I said in your intro, and Bob and I talked at the top of the show, you've led the Campbell, you've led Campbell University to back-to-back 6-5 seasons. Your first 2 years in the Big South Conference, and you're breaking attendance records there at Barker Lane Stadium. Talk about the things you've accomplished and how you feel about the trajectory of the program.
Well, when you look at, you know, when I took the job, we were dead last in Division I football, okay? And I mean dead last. And so the job that I had to take over was pretty daunting, okay? So how do you take a non-scholarship football program and build it into a program that's a winning program? And that's what we took on. First, we had to gain the momentum of having people want to come to the football games, and we started to do that when we was in non-scholarship. And then the president saw that, okay, the support is there, let's go scholarship football. And so for the last 2 years, that's what we've been doing. We've been building our program to be a scholarship football program. And, you know, last year we started season 6-1 and, was ranked, number 26 in the country. And so when you look at coming from dead last and right outside the top 25, in your second year of, scholarship football, man, it makes you feel real good. One of the things that we did when we came from non-scholarship to scholarship, which is the first team to ever do this, we our first season, we had a winning season. And so when you look at the progression of where we at and to be able to do what we've been doing over the last, 4 or 5 seasons has been tremendous. And it's only going to get better because we're young and guys are starting to grow up a little bit. So next year we're going to be a pretty tough football team.
And speaking of being young, Mike, your freshman quarterback, Haj Malik Williams, kid from right here in Atlanta, he was named Freshman of the Week 4 times during the course of the season and an honor roll student in school. Talk about what you're seeing from this young man.
Well, Mr. Haj Malik Williams is special. I played in college football with Tommy Frazier. We came in together. He was my quarterback, and I tell Haj all the time, man, you remind me so much of Tommy Frazier. It's unbelievable. The mindset of we're going to win the game, the mindset of raising everybody else's talent around you, and the mindset of, you know what, if I got to make a play, I'm going to make the play. And that's what he brought to the table. Now, he was a drop down from Army. He got recruited and went to Army right out of high school, went to the prep school at Army, and decided that it wasn't for him. And, you know, that year right before he came, we had Daniel Smith as our starting quarterback. And, you know, he went into the portal, wanted to try to move up and go to a higher level. Wasn't able to do that. And he landed at Villanova, and he took a Villanova team from, two wins to the playoffs, right? So I'm a little mad. I'm like, man, I mean, what are we doing? We lost our starting quarterback. It would have been the first season in my 7 years that I would have had the same quarterback starting twice. And so we didn't get that. So when we was going into the season, we lose our best player on our football team. And lo and behold, we get Hodge Malik Williams, who is unbelievably better than what we had previous to him. And he came in, he took a young football team. And, like I said, he took us all the way up to, the highest rank that we got was ranked 26th in the country. And he was just a freshman. So, look out. It'd be the first time in my career as a head coach to have a repeat starting quarterback.
Wow. And Mike, when you look around your team, you talk about how young and good this team can be. You had 13 players named to the All Big South team, and your tight end, Michael Wooten, was named to the Academic All-Star team. So talk about, you know, some of the rest of your players that are, you know, performing well on and now off the field in the classroom as well.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the things when I took over the program. You know, our goal is to get 3.0 as a team, and you know, our guys work very, very hard. Every year we have more and more guys that is on that 3.0 club. And so the, you know, GPA when I took over, was at like a 2.3, and, now we're at a 2.9. And so, you know, when you start looking at that, you start to say, okay, guys are starting to get it. And what I try to show them is that what you do in the classroom is a direct reflection on what you're going to do, on the football field. And, so guys buy into that and they really, lock into that. When you talk about other players, you got Caleb Snead, who was a freshman All-American. He's going into his junior year, receiver, 6'4", 4'5" guy, really, really just a dynamic football player. So him and Hodge Malik Williams now are going to be able to get onto the same page, because last year was kind of, Hodge got there in training camp. They really started to learn each other throughout the season. And then Caleb got hurt. So Caleb Snead to be healthy again, with Hodge right there. It's going to be a dynamic duo that's going to be, tough to beat. And, defensively, we got Darian Slade, who was first team all conference, safety. And, I got to have my safeties in there. And this is a kid that I believe will, get a chance to get drafted and play at the next level. He'll be a senior, upcoming senior, and really should be in the running of trying to win the Big South Defensive Player of the Year. So, when you look at guys like that, you're pretty excited about it. We had Terrence Harper, who is from the Atlanta area also, graduated this year, defensive tackle, and got selected to play in the Hula Bowl. They brought the Hula Bowl back, and so he got a chance to go over there and made some big time plays, and 6'9" defensive tackle, going to get a chance to play at the next level too. So, when you look at guys having success, on and off the football field and able to go to that next level and get a chance to play at the National Football League, that's what it's all about, is helping these young men become great in everything that they're doing.
Bob, questions for Mike?
It's great to have you back, Mike. And I wanted to stay on that same topic because we talk to Coach Willie Simmons all the time, and he always comes back at us with, my guys aren't going to the NFL. Maybe one or two here and there, but they're not. So I have to develop young men. And he talks about academics and all these things, exactly what you said. The quote unquote non-football factory coaches are our favorite people because what they have to do is develop young men in like no other. And it's just tremendous things. And what you said about, keeping the guys, on task and things like that is truly something. What are some of the things at Campbell, Mike, that you have in place to, kind of foster these guys that are to do well in the classroom?
Well, I think the biggest thing is you find out what's their dreams and their passion and their desire. Once you begin to understand what that is, then now you connect everything that we do on a daily basis to help you get there. And what we say is it's our job to unlock your greatness. And that's why we're here. So when we pushing you, we prodding you, we all over you, because we're trying to unlock your greatness. So don't fight us. We're not the enemy. Okay. Work with us so we can unlock their greatness. And so that's really what we try to preach day in and day out. We try to let these guys know that from the time you get up to the time you go to bed, everything matters. Everything. The way you get up and fix your bed, make your bed. It matters. The way you get up out of bed, and your mindset as you attack the day in the classroom, it matters. And so I just really try to show these guys that everything you do and everything you touch, it matters to your success. And so you have to take it serious. There's no such thing as let me take a day off or a moment off, or let me take this subject matter off, or let me take the classroom off, or let me take this play off. You cannot do that. Because this is really the formative years of what you're going to be, as a grown man, as you go into society. And, you know, everybody wants to be great, but it costs. It's a price to be paid for that. And we try to teach our guys that daily, that you must pay the price, for what you want in life.
And Mike, we mentioned at the beginning of the show you were a multi-sport athlete, and Chris and I talk about this all the time, and we ask our guests the kind of sports they played as a kid, and you're in a great position as a recruiter and a coach. Do you look for those all-around athletes, Mike, who might have just excelled in multi-sports as a kid? To us, it seems like you're working on different muscle groups, and I think coaches are getting away from just one sport for these kids as youth, and are looking for the total package.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when you look at what you want in an athlete, he must have all these different circumstances that he's been able to overcome. So just doing one sport, you're not going to be presented with different obstacles that you must overcome. Of course, you talked about the athletic piece of it, where you using different muscle groups, depending on what type of sport that you playing at that time. But the mental side of the game, because it keeps you hungry going towards a goal, and it also, you know, keeps you in tune with other people. So when you start to do one sport, once that sport is over, now it's about the individual, and that individual trying to train to become as good as that person could be. But you don't know unless you're a quarterback and you've been kind of trained like the Mannings from the time that you was born all the way through. But you know, these other positions, you don't know what you're going to end up in college. And so your body is still growing. Your mind is still growing. Everything is still growing. So the more you can do, the better. And that's what I try to tell people all the time. Even when you start talking about the National Football League, when you get there, man, the more you can do, the better it's going to be. And so, you know, trying to just kind of pigeonholing yourself real quick and early into your career is just not smart. And, you know, so of course we want them guys who always put themselves in situations to be competitive against other people, using teamwork. I mean, that's the best type of kid that you can have.
Mike, I want to switch gears a little bit and get your thoughts on your alma mater, the University of Nebraska. You played there alongside their current head coach, Scott Frost. They've struggled a little bit over the last several years. But wanted to get your thoughts on Nebraska and what you think needs to happen to kind of get that program back to where it was when you played there.
Well, hey, look, I was just talking to Coach Osborne probably about a couple of days ago. And we were sitting down. We normally get together once a year and we were sitting down and we was talking about that. And one of the questions I asked him was, I said, Coach, you know, you was picked like number three all time coaches in college football, where Bear Brown was number one and Coach Saban was number two. And then, of course, Coach Osborne was number three. And I said, you know, you got the job in 1973. You went in 9 games, 10 games, but you couldn't win the big one. And in 1992, a group of guys came in and we began to win championships because we came in with a different mindset. It was never about just let's go win the Big Eight championship. And of course, I'm dating myself by saying that some of your young people is like, Big Eight, what is that? So we wanted to win national championships and that's what it was. And I said, you know, what was it about that group? Did you, you know, kind of profile us to bring us there? And he said, no, look, it was just the luck of the draw that all you guys came at that particular time. He said, but what y'all did is you guys took ownership of the program. And so it's a long way of answering your question. The players must take ownership of the program. They must keep the accountability going at a high rate. One of the stories that he was telling me, he said, you know, I was running around, you know, he used to run around the stadium to get his exercise in. And he said, we was kind of working out one day and one kid was loafing. He really wasn't going hard. And he said he saw somebody run 50 yards over to this kid and tackle this kid and let him know that it's not good enough. And he said, guess who that was? I said, who was he? He said, it was Jason Peters. He said, that's the type of accountability you guys had amongst one another, is that you was not going to let anybody not live up to the standard. And that's what you got to have when you talk about turning programs around, especially at Nebraska. And that's what, you know, Scott is going to do. He's bringing that because he lived it. He was part of that. He understood. And so now he's trying to interject that into the program. And you know, he's going to do it. I really believe that. But you got to realize that it's only year two. And where he was at Central Florida, that team was already ready. They just needed a general to lead the way. And so he came in and he led the way. When you go back to Nebraska, now you're talking about rebuilding the whole situation. Administration, you got to talk about every single detail of every single kid that you're trying to get back into the program. You know, so 50% of that football team is his and 50% has already been there. So you got to try to change the mindset of a lot of different types of people. So this year, he'll have about 75% of his guys. And I believe at that time, the culture started to flip to where he wants it. And, then these guys are able to compete in the Big Ten, to try to win that west side of the division. And so, man, I'm excited about what he's doing. I'm excited about, where the program is going, because I know he understands, you know, what it took for us to win them championships in the 90s. And I know he's bringing that to the program today.
Mike, one more before we let you go. And I want to go out on a happy memory, because just over 15 years ago, you had a key interception in the Panthers playoff win against the Rams. Came early in the fourth quarter. You guys would go on to win that game in overtime. And it was a ball that you intercepted that was intended for Isaac Bruce, who's now a Hall of Famer. So I was curious to get your memories of that play in that game.
Well, listen, the game itself was an unbelievable game. I think Ricky Manning Jr. was a rookie during that time. And I think he had a couple picks, and in particular, he had a pick in the fourth quarter that really helped us go into overtime with those guys. You know, they was a dynamic offense, and really our job was, from a secondary standpoint, is don't let anybody get behind you. Make sure Marshall Faulk don't beat you. And then if they do catch the ball in front of you, you got to punish them. And that was our whole game plan the whole time. And luckily, you know, we got a guy that's going to be in the Hall of Fame too, here, you know, a couple years whenever he's eligible. Number 89, Steve Smith, caught that in route and, you know, took it all the way to the end zone to win in double overtime was just an unbelievable feeling to be able to go on the road and get that victory and, you know, help us go play them Philadelphia Eagles all the way to the Super Bowl. So, but that moment was a big moment for our program and what we, you know, put in to make that happen. And man, I remember that like it was yesterday, the whole feeling of stopping that offense. Everything was on us as a defense and we made it happen.
Mike, let our listeners know, how can they stay up to date with all the great things you're doing there at Campbell University, follow you online and on social media as well?
Well, you know, you can always go Coach Mike Mentor on the Twitter stuff. And, you know, I'm not a big-time social media guy, so I don't know all the hashtags and all that type of stuff. But Go Campbell Football is what I do know. And you can get on there at Go Campbell Football and really follow us and what we're doing. You know, I can tell you guys right now, man, when we talk next year, you'll be talking to the champions of the Big South. So we really excited about who we are and what we got going on this year and looking forward to a great 2020 season.
And I'm looking forward to you guys coming. You guys actually play against Kennesaw State, which is just down the street from where I'm at in November. So I'm looking forward to being at that game and watching you guys play. I'm sure it's going to be a great time, and I'm sure you guys are going to do great things. Mike, thank you so much for your time tonight. Thanks for being a part of the show.
Good luck, Mike.
Hey, thank you, guys. Thank you.
That's the great Mike Mentor and Bob, when you look at a guy that's building, like he said, a program that was at the very bottom where it is now. And one of the things that, and you mentioned this in your part of the interview, I mean, the thing that we respect about Mike and Willie Simmons and so many of the coaches that we've been blessed to have is their focus on the kids and those guys doing well in the classroom. And like Mike said, you translate what you do in the classroom to what you do on the football field. Everything communicates. Everything is important. Boy, that's a coach you want to play for. That's a coach you want your son to go play for.
Exactly, Chris. And not even mentioning his NFL pedigree and everything else, but you could tell, you couldn't do what he did in a couple years, two or three years. It had to be a few, and he's done it. But they were at the bottom of the football world, and to have them have a few above 500 seasons consecutively now, that's an amazing. But as you heard during the interview, it's more than the football stuff with him, he's going to be very successful, Chris. I can't wait to talk to him after next year because you know they're going to be improved.
Yeah, and like I said, I'm looking forward to going to watch him play here at Kennesaw State. That's going to be an exciting game. All right, we've got our next guest, Tony Collins, hanging on the line. We'll get to Tony on the other side of this real quick station break.